You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
Never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me in any kind of sports in high school.
Hello, world. You're about to experience something that you haven't experienced in about, 5 years. We are here, AFC North champs. I am Zim Hude with my co-host, Ace Bookie.
Yes, sir. Smoking on that AFC North pack.
What is that joint hitting on? What's everybody wants to know what that chief, what that patty, what is that patty, like grade that 1 to 10? How does that feel for us right now?
I think it's about 525 if I'm grading it on that scale.
Yes, sir. Mr. 525. We going crazy now. So all this year, I think you guys have been following people, following lots of Bengals entities, lots of different people that we believe in. Shout out to my boy Anthony Cazenza holding it down when me and Ace were definitely out of town. Didn't have a schedule up to, you know, our normal par. I wanted to come straight after the game, but, you know, me and Ace both had some stuff going on. So shout out to him. Please make sure y'all check out his show. But on our, you know, on our Cincy Jungle, you know, network here. But I want to talk, like, let's get straight into this because there's so much to unpackage here. First and foremost, I'm just going to say this. This is one of the greatest moments that I think I've ever felt watching Joe Burrow wear the Migos shirt before the game and have everybody and their mother message me and be like, Ace is on. And for me, I looked over to my my wife. I said, bro, we are winning this game. Just give us some insight. Talk to me about it. Like, where were you when you found out? Like, talk to people about this design, because this ain't just pop up now that Joe B is warning. People think that this just came out or something.
Right. No, you're right. So the first person to call me was them. So hold on. Let me move this camera real quick. The first person that called me was them. So as you guys may have known, and I think I said it on the last show, it was my wife's birthday weekend. So we actually went to Disney. And so I'm literally getting on the ferry at Disney World. Like, you already know, if you've ever been to Magic Kingdom, you got to do a hop and skip there. And I'm on the boat, right? And I'm sitting there talking to my wife. And then Zim calls. And I'm like, I'm out here with my wife. I want to make sure that she's getting my complete attention. So I sent him the voicemail. And then, like,
I
go back and call me. I was like, all right, something is going on here. Like, something is going crazy. And, like, right at that same time that he was calling me, my Twitter notifications were going off. And I'm like, all right, the last time this happened, it was when Tyler Boyd had the Migos shirt on IG. And so then I saw that and I was like, all right, cool. And then I'm like, bro, I end up seeing Joey B and I'm like, bro, he's wearing the Migos shirt. And I literally hand the phone right to my wife, and she is just like, she was like, Zim is a real one. She was like, Zim was going to make sure that you got that news. And from then on, it was just crazy. It's like you said, I immediately looked at my wife and I was like, we winning today. Like, that's the energy that's out there. So for him to wear that, it was just crazy. And for the Bengals to tweet it, and then, like, everybody be talking about the t-shirt,
everybody
repping the Migos, it was just a crazy moment, bro. And then, like, I always am on, like, Bleacher Report and stuff like that, and I'm always checking and seeing, like, the notifications be about Bengals related stuff. And then it's like I get a notification about them talking about the Migos shirt itself, which was crazy because, like, a lot of people don't know. I think I told Zim, I sent the guys the shirts months ago, like, probably back in, like, June or July. So I had no idea that they were going to still wear them. Like, Chase had posted it initially, and it got some traction then. I didn't even know that Tyler Boyd – I told you that. I didn't even know Tyler Boyd was going to wear it. And then, let alone Joe Burrow, like, the fact that they put it out for this game was just major. And then the way that they played in the game just made it even better. And then, like you said, after the game, my phone starts blowing up again. My phone hasn't stopped buzzing since it happened, bro. Since he put it on, the phone hasn't stopped buzzing. It just was crazy.
I wanted to ask you this, too, because can you tell everybody where they could get the shirt at, too? Because if you we don't talk about merch like that much on our show. I feel like we might briefly talk about it. But I just think at this very moment, it's such a hot topic. And it's such a big deal, like, because people hit me and be like, where can you get it? And I'm like, you know, newstripecity.com. But just
newstripecity.com, because we had to fight bots, too. So, like, right when that's happening, all of these bots, which the bots were there at the beginning, like, when I first made it. But it was only, like, two of them. It was, like, I remember reaching out to you and I think talking to Bengals captain about it. And he had actually let me know that they were bots. But the bots went crazy after that. So I'm, like, trying to, you know, block them, report them. So if you guys are listening, do me a favor. If you see any bot that's posting this link and they are not from newstripecity.com, report them, report the tweet, report the account. I appreciate that. I've been doing that for the most part. The link is actually, hold on, someone said put the link in the chat. I'll make sure to do that. The link is in the bio.
My boy Nick. What's up, Nick?
But also, y'all, don't forget that we also got whole lot of orange. We also got the whole division shirt that Zim has as well. We both put together some dope designs. I think we got to get whole lot of orange to go up too. But definitely check him out at zimhuday.com and all of our merch. It's just a crazy, like, I just want to say thank you. If Joe Burrow is listening, if Tyler Boyd is listening, anybody, Chase, you guys, Joe Mixon, thank you, bro. I truly appreciate it. Like, the fact that y'all embraced it just shows how dope you guys are as players and just shows how dope you guys support, you know, the Bengals community and the diehards out here. And that's why I made this shirt. It was like about the culture. And I'm actually wearing the very first one I made. Like, this was the original design right here, right? But after that one was, I think, taken down or something, I had to go and we worked with our partners, OTO Supply, on this one. And now the Migos shirts are just going crazy.
Man, I just think it's so crazy that, you know, here we are. We done did it. We done gave the people the Civil War. If you followed all of this stuff, like me and Ace had a good conversation earlier, and I was like, you know, like we've been Bengals fans for our whole entire life, but this year has been the most influential, craziest moments for us. And I know you guys want to get into the game, but I just think that some of this stuff that we've been saying all along, to watch it come to fruition is a very special thing. And I think a lot of people can ride with it, because everybody hits me and be like, Zim, you told us. I told all my friends and da 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 da. And I feel like it's like the Bengals community kind of went in too, because, you know, it didn't ever have to be like a battle of like, I want this guy. The Migos shirt to me represented like, we are always going to have the best wide receiver core. And the day that it happened, I said, if a team wants to play us, they better have all their corners and they better be healthy. And these dudes are going to take over. And to watch it happen and fast forward to, you know, this past Sunday, I just think, where do you even want to start? There's so many moments, because like people, you could tell me in the chats, like, what's your favorite moment? Ace, let's just go into the game. Bengals win the game by a field goal. Wild sequences all over the place. Do you want to go chronological like we've done before, or do you? I know I've highlighted like a couple different notes that I had or whatever, but
right.
I just, man, like, where do you want to start with this?
So we can start. I think you asked about like what was my favorite moment in the game,
right?
I think for me and you, it might be similar for you. Uno, the 72-yard. Touchdown. Like, no. I was literally
third and 27 for the rest of my life. I'm not mad at third and 27 at all,
because that was insane. That was, yeah, I probably would agree with y'all, third and 27. But I will say, in the moment when I was watching it, just because we were down at the time when I was watching, and I was like, all right, we need something here. And then, like, my phone kind of spoils it a little bit. And I'm like, all right, Ja'Marr Chase touched. I'm like, how did this happen? And so then I see it, and I see all of these people around him. And I'm like, bro, there's no way that he's going to make it out of all of these people. And he just turns on the burners and just torches all of them. And I'm just like, because we joke about the AFC North talk. And at one point, Tony had said, all right, dial up the 82-yard Ja'Marr Chase touchdown play. And after that, I hit him, and I was like, yeah, we just dialed up the 72-yard right. Ja'Marr Chase touchdown play.
It's real. And a crazy thing, I was talking to some folks very close to him. You know, I talked to his father recently. I talked to a lot of people. And one of the things that I kept on harping in coming into the game is that they got to get away from just going deep to Ja'Marr Chase. Just Ja'Marr Chase in space is a nightmare for a defender. And I don't think the fans really at home, like, seeing them in person, just if you've ever, like, even when we was at the Jaguars game, or like all these different games or different, seeing speed in person or seeing strength in person, it's yeah. just nothing like it. And he's way bigger than a lot of people think.
A lot of people think he definitely is way, like, we saw that when we saw him in person. So he is definitely way bigger than you think. He's not a small guy whatsoever.
He catches that. He goes house to see that speed and that acceleration. There's only one guy in the NFL that I think is taking off like that, like one elite guy, and that's right. Tyreek. That one right. guy that we're talking about, Tyreek, had 40 yards for the whole entire game because Awuzie was clamping and company. But my one point was this before the game even started, and I wanted to know what you think about this. I got a lot of criticism for this one time before. I said the Bengals draft is so unorthodox, and people didn't really get it at the time. And I think there's been other media people that have said this, but the Bengals drafted to beat the Chiefs.
Facts.
Like,
facts. I think you were the first person that said that. You was like, I don't care about these other teams in the division and stuff like that. I want to beat the Chiefs. And, like, I think you were right because it's not a slight to anybody in the division. It's just that the class of, you know, the AFC has been the Chiefs. It's always been the Chiefs. And like you said, that was one of the reasons why we wanted Joe Burrow, because we had to get not only the quarterback that could compete with Matt Holmes, but we had to get the weapons too. And you made that your point as well when you said we got to go and get Chase, because I need three dogs and I need a dog in Mixon to be able to go hand in hand in combat with the Chiefs. And that was like when Joe wore the shirt, it's like, I got my guys. Like, we ready. It's smoke. It's up. Like, we ready for this. And I think that, like you said, you said on a lot of things, bro, like, a lot of people got to give, you know, Zim his flowers on a lot of the stuff that he said, especially when it comes to Chase, when it comes to, you know, the strategy that we need to attack with and stuff like that. You hit the nail on the head on that one, bro. And, like, the other thing, too, Zim was the first person that I seen going out, and I remember you calling me several times. Me and Zim talk all the time. But it was like he had went out there early before the season started and said, we got the best trio in the league, the whole entire NFL. People were coming at him saying the Bucks, the Cowboys, and all of that. And he said that, and now you hear guys like Randy Moss and the Talking Heads saying stuff that me and Zim have said like 6 months ago. So, right. Like, definitely got to give you your credit on that one, bro. And like you said, that is why we did what we needed to do, so we can go into these games with the Chiefs and not have to worry about putting points on the board. Because even though we down 14, like you told me, we're not done yet. We can put up points in bunches.
You know the most beautiful part about this game? We're going to talk about, like, how perfect this game was and what it means to Cincinnati sports and everything like that. But one of the things that I think that is going to do for the city, and one thing that I think it does for Bengals fans, is – I think a layer of doubt was removed. The 3rd and 27 to me said, just being down 14, I was listening to Anthony, his podcast when I was on the plane and I was coming back, and I was listening to him. He was like, man, we were down 11. I wasn't really sure and stuff like that. I remember before Chase scored the touchdown, I tweeted, if you guys follow me on Twitter, I like tweet like live game and stuff or whatever. And before it happened, I said, number 9, will never care about the score. And a lot of people talk to me this year that just met me this year and be like, you're so optimistic on the Bengals. I'm like, it's number 9. Like, when you got number 9, I just feel like I'm invincible. I really do. And you know, I'm very confident in life and stuff like that. But number 9 is giving me like a confidence that I never knew existed. And that's why he's so important to Cincinnati sports. That's why he's so important to the culture, because I think it's really bigger than football. And being down 14 points, I've tweeted right away, number 9 does not care about the score. We won't waver. I look down, take a sip of my drink, look up, boom, Ja'Marr Chase gone. And when I'm at a bar with a whole bunch of fans that I asked everybody, I said, have you ever seen a Bengals game this year? And it was like, no, like a full game. It was like, no. I went, gathered people. I grabbed everybody I could. I said, hey, come over here. I want y'all to see this game. I know you might don't watch football. It's super intense. I think you're going to have a whole lot of fun. If I lose this game, I'm going to buy everybody here a drink. Had the whole bar just like sitting right there. And I was sweating bullets because I'm like, shoot, I ain't trying to buy all these people drinks. I ain't trying to pay that tab. But it was so crazy to watch everybody come there and say, why isn't this team, you know, like, elevated? Like, why aren't they on SportsCenter? Why aren't they, like, everywhere? Why aren't they on magazine? Like, people that don't really watch football. And I was like, that's the same thing I've been telling our fans all year. All our ops wish they had Ja'Marr Chase. When Ja'Marr Chase was making drops, they were so happy about it because they like, whew, we dodged that bullet. Because all of them wanted Ja'Marr Chase. And the Bengals fans were all sitting here and saying, oh, this guy's got drops and super critical. I'm like, bro, if we stick together on Amigo stuff and they stick together and we got Joey B, I'm going to show y'all that there's nothing like that in the NFL right now. And that's why when people talk about the Bucks and the Cowboys and different stuff like that, they're talking about team guys that Amari Cooper has been in the league like 8 years. He's never had more yards than T. Higgins or Ja'Marr Chase or anything. And this is right. Ja'Marr Chase's rookie year. They'll talk about the Bucks. All them guys are old. They're not old, but Antonio Brown was old. And now he's not even on the team. I'm like, y'all giving all these people like Julio Jones and all these different duos and stuff, all this credit based off of what they done. But who wouldn't take this young, spry 21-year-old guy jumping out the gym, running a 4.3, and all of these other guys? It's like, it's super easy for me to see it. And I think having Ja'Marr Chase break the rookie record, having 14.29, having that happen, the way he did it, and just the different points that he did in the game, I think it peeled a layer of uncertainty off of Bengals fans.
No, I'm with you. I think it definitely just has shown, whether it's, you know, Joe, TB, T. Higgins, nobody wants to mess with us. Like I said that on the preview show, like a lot of people was talking about how scary the Chiefs offense was. I was like, our offense is pretty damn scary too. And if we just being 100, we have more skill weapons than they have. So like, much respect to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, but we feel like we got like two Tyreek on this team with T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and then we got Tyler Boyd. Like, bro,
we took him toe to toe.
We know, like, bro, we got Uzama. Like, bro, you really don't want to smoke with us.
Anybody that says anybody, their fans and stuff are delusional, and we're going to get into the calls in a second, like officiating and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you from a player standpoint, for Pat Mahomes to watch Joe Burrow perform like that, psychologically, is going to put something in his brain that he'll never forget the day that Joe Burrow came out there and threw for 500 on him, and it was no problem. Joe Burrow was getting hit all over the place, and it was no problem. He just delivered, wham, wham, bam, bam, just dicing him up. And on a low, Tyler Boyd, every single week, super sneaky touchdown, super clutch moment, super whatever. On a low, T. Higgins, even if he doesn't have 194, one jump, like, it's just no way to stop
that,
this.
And that pass to T was nuts,
bro. And I'm just so glad that people got a chance to see that. Everybody that I saw around there, I said, man, I wish that Bengals fans would take this same energy and just apply it to what you just see. And go watch any of these other teams. Like, there's stagnant defense times. There are times where guys don't do well on defense. There's times, you know, like, where things don't go your way. But this team is super resilient, and they make really, really good second half changes. And I think the first half of this game, Bengals down 14 points. That's not enough points We're at that point right now. If you're up 14 points as a Bengal fan, you'll know that that's not enough points. Bengals get the field goal. They get it down to 11 points. What were your thoughts coming into halftime?
I still felt good because I knew that we were going to get the ball after, the first half was over, right? I knew that we were getting the ball back based off of it. We went out there with Evan McPherson. He gets the field goal. I'm like, all right, we good. We in good position. I was worried about the defense at first initially, right? Because it just seemed like – and it wasn't that the defense was playing bad. It just seemed like the defense was playing good. And then anytime they would get into, like, a third down, like, those receivers for the Chiefs were catching everything. I'm like, damn, bro, they just going to catch that? Like, it's insane. And they just kept converting there. And so I was like, well, I want to see what Lou does in the second half, how they adjust after seeing what the Chiefs offense did in the first half. And I got to get kudos. I know we talked the gang about the offense. The defense came to play in the second half. And I think that was definitely the X factor. Even shout out to Eli Apple as well. I know we talked about Cheeto. Eli Apple in that first half had that interception that he dropped. Like, Mahomes had, if I'm not mistaken, two drop interceptions in that game. So the way that defense, I feel like, played in the second half, like, completely changed the outcome of the game. And that's that, like, really, honestly, and truly, you can call us homers and all of that. At the end of the day, me and Zim are students of the game. We watch the entire league. There is no team in the NFL that has the offensive, the explosive offense that we have, the and talent then, that we have, and then a defense that can really just put the clamps on anybody. And when they put it together at the same time, it's scary for anybody in the league.
Right, and that's the whole message that I have been going through. When we came on the show, I said, bro, who do you think? You think the Colts want to be able to stop these three? Okay, Jonathan Taylor can run really well, right? What do we do best? We're the fourth best run defense in the National Football League. Okay, so the Patriots, you think that they want to come in? They have they're out coaching guys, right? We see Matt LaFleur with the Packers take them to overtime when Joey B was on a pitch count. And the only thing that saved the Packers that day
it wasn't clock management or anything like that. It was just, we say the Packers let them off the hook where they were trying to not let Joe B cook in the overtime. We hand the ball off on 38-39. Fast forward into now, imagine you get Joe Burrow that football right there at that moment. Like, aren't we like 6-1 or something right there? Like, so like for all of these different things that happen throughout the year, and then finally they finally get it all together. We go the last 2-3 games and no turnovers. The last three things, that's the biggest thing that stood out to me in this game, is no turnovers in those different points. And the defense, it isn't the greatest defense of all time, but the system is set up in a way for them to all succeed. There are going to be teams that we're going to see in the playoffs that they put their corners on islands, and people pay big money for those guys. And we'll pay Awuzie big money. Eli Apple is going to get a check, all these different things like that. But the one thing with Lou's scheme is there's always help. There's always a safety that's going to be able to give you inside leverage. There's always – like, I want to talk a little X and O's real quick. One thing coming into this game, the Chiefs were on an eight-game – they were on an eight-game win streak, right?
Yep.
Early in the season, teams were giving them two high looks. Patrick Mahomes killed it. So then they go, and then teams start playing single high. And then people had a little bit of success, whatever. Bengals, first half of that game, Lou comes out there, single high look. So you're like, yeah, on third downs, you know, Chiefs guys, whatever. Because Patrick Mahomes is able to process so fast, just like Joe Burrow is. Single high look, I know I got Tyreek one-on-one, I know I got whatever. Cover two shells, even trap coverages over on the sidelines and different things like that. You can't really see it pre-snap. You have to see it after the snap. So the first half of the football game, it's all single high looks. Lou comes out, Patrick Mahomes is shook. Comes out second half, coming back with two safeties. Von Bell, you don't know where he's going. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just robber looks and different things like that, where it confused Pat Mahomes because he hadn't seen it in like 8-9 weeks because teams were scared to do it. Then the gutsiest call of them all, 3rd and 5. You send a zero blitz to Pat Mahomes? Like, nobody does that. Nobody does it. So, like, as a Bengal fan, I'm watching this at the bar. I'm telling everybody, I'm like, when the last time y'all seen somebody successfully do a zero blitz on Pat Mahomes on third down? He will cook you. And it shook him. And then to see Joe Burrow on the opposite end take 2-0 looks that I saw, it absolutely destroyed him. They try to do the trap coverage over there. I was just watching AFC North. He said Sorensen is not that good. Sorensen is pretty good, and he's formidable. But Joe Burrow was able to see in that route, Ja'Marr Chase, with his mind, was like, just stop your route. Fall into this zone right here. Stop your route right here. I'm going to throw it right here, and then I'm going to make my move. I'm going to cut across the field and go crazy on you. And the crazy thing about it is, they were saying on AFC North, he's not good. Why is he on? No, Ja'Marr Chase is just way better than all of those people. The day when people wake up, you know how people wake up and say Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers are just so good. They don't watch any Packers games, but they're so good. And they are. And they really are.
Yeah, right.
But the day that people wake up and say, Ja'Marr Chase is just marginally better. T. Higgins is just marginally better. Tyler Boyd is marginally better than whoever is going to defend him in those different circumstances, is the day that I live. I can't wait to see when people just start saying that, because what they do is give us excuses on why something didn't go the way that they thought it would, because the defender's bad or the defender's hurt or something like that. But
right.
Joey right. B are diagnosing, he's a surgeon on the field. And watching it in real time, how fast he understands what's going on and it hits these guys, is phenomenal. And the adjustments that were made in the second half of the football versus what we used to do when we had Marvin Lewis, is just, whoa. Like, everybody and their mom that's in here at some point probably said, including myself, was probably very critical on Zach Taylor. If you're talking coaching now, show me a second half that the Bengals didn't come out here and cook. Like, every single second
Zach
half
was cooking.
Every single second half, they come back with adjustments. We talk about coaching, like, people just give it to Andy Reid. And they were really mad at the tweets that I had before the game. I said Andy Reid folded in all those Eagles, he went to 8 conference championships, no Super Bowl. He got his first Super Bowl with Pat Mahomes. What did he do when he goes to the Super Bowl last year? Pat Mahomes goes back there with that Walmart offensive line that they got because everybody got hurt. He never adjusted anything. I bet you Zach Taylor makes those adjustments.
But the difference is, the difference is people are conditioned to think like these. This guy is up here and this guy is up here. Now Zach Taylor is now mentally what Joe Burrow's been telling us all along. He told us after the game he was a perfect fit. When I met him at the combine, I knew that he was amazing and he was a beautiful mind or whatever. So all these different things are now happening in real time. And as fans that don't watch a lot of football, one thing doesn't go your way. Kelce gets a football. I mean, gets a touchdown. Everybody's like, wow, Kelce, he scores. Yeah, you know I mean, how That's did he great. Do it?
Travis Kelce.
I'm like, bro, have you seen Travis Kelce before? He's on my fantasy team. He goes to work every single week, even if I don't get a chance to catch him. Like, I think people just – we say that every week. But I just think the coaching – Zach Taylor, coach of the year.
Zach Taylor, definitely coach of the year. And
go from four games to this.
He's easily the coach of the year. I mean, like, and you talk about him in this game, and we talk about, like, Marvin Lewis and the differences between the two, right? Like, Marvin Lewis was a conservative guy. Zach was out here going for it in his own territory. He was just situationally aware of everything in this game. And I think you got to just get a man his credit. Like, I got on a lot of people earlier this season that were like, fire Zach and this and that. And like you said, last year we were definitely critical of Zach, right? But we came around kind of, at least I know I did. I don't know you did as well. But I was like, you know, he hasn't had his guys. You know, this is a rebuild. It's something that we're not really used to. And so for Zach to finally get the chance to come out here with his own players, I gave him this year. And I felt like, I think I said before the season, if he wins like 7 to 8 games, you got to keep him. I mean, this man won 10. And he's literally can win 11. Like, we're going to win potentially 11 games. He has to be the coach of the year. He's got to get the kudos. I don't want to hear no fire Zach anything. And I think that that just definitely taught Houdet Nation a lesson to stick it through and represent Zach Taylor and what he's did. And like you said, he went toe-to-toe with Andy Reid, okay, and outcoached him. And there were other where he's outcoached, you know, Mike Tomlin, Harbaugh, a lot of these other guys that he's out coached. So at this point, I want the smoke with anybody. It's up.
It is. And I think rewinding a little bit, we're critical on some of these instances, like the Packers game. I hated that handoff. And at the time, I think the conversation was, we're going to trust Evan McPherson to kick this. Joe, we're not going to put too much on your plate early in the season. But as fans in the moment, you want the win and you don't understand some of this stuff. And I think the players respect them a lot more for different things like that. And that's not me just being like a homer or like sucking them, like sucking Zach off or whatever. It's just telling the truth. Like, some things behind the scenes we probably don't understand sometimes, or why they did it, or why he built confidence in certain things. I'll probably never understand why he handed the ball off a couple of weeks ago. But to come back, to take ownership of that at the podium, then to come back, absolutely outcoach the Broncos, know that they couldn't score, come back with that game plan. I mean, even the Raiders game, the way that Mixon was utilized in that game, like there's so many different points that Bengals fans could really point to that you would have 100 positive Zach Taylor things at this point now if you really went through every single game, and then you would collect all the bad ones and it'd probably be like 100 to like 22. Like 100 good positive things versus 22. And that's the nature of the beast. Every week we watch coaches make mistakes against us. I thought the Chargers coach that I really like, his name escapes me, Staley. But Staley, I thought he made some mistakes in there. I thought that Andy Reid made a couple mistakes by punting.
Letting us score at the end. That's what they talked about on AFC North.
So that was the next point to me, too. So we're just going to fast forward all the way to the end of the game. 3rd and 27 is 3rd and 27. Chiefs people talking about all these different things that happened in the game. Phantom holding call and a sack give us 3rd and 27. I hated the holding call that got us to that. 3rd and 27, they convert. Boom. We go down in the field. Let me ask you, I asked you this earlier on the phone. Do you think that the Bengals were trying to score at the very beginning of that sequence when they were doing quarterback sneaks? Because it looked like Joe Burrow was just kind of sneaking and then he didn't really try to extend, or were they trying and they just didn't get it?
It's hard to say, because on the Mixon one, I almost felt like Mixon was in, right? But like you said, on those plays, I'm not sure. Like, we kind of talked about before, like, and I kind of said, you know, why haven't they done the QB sneak? So we got that in this game. But I think in some instances they were trying to score, and then I think that they realized the situation. And like Zach said, I believe at the end of the game, you don't want to give Pat Mahomes the ball back, right? And so I think on the Joe Mixon one, he nearly was almost in there, but I think they really made kind of a concerted effort to decide to just kind of run the clock out and get McPherson out there. What were your thoughts on it?
I just think that they weren't trying to score, and I think it's a testament, too, that you're going to see for the next 10 years, guys. Like, teams don't want to have Joe Burrow get the ball at the end of a football game. Like, to go into the drive with 6 minutes, just rewind just a second, 6 minutes, the Chiefs got to be thinking that they're going to get the ball back and at least try again. I thought that Andy Reid should have let us score so that then you come back and then you go maybe score your touchdown and come back and do a 2-point conversion to go win the game because I got Pat Mahomes. Right. And that's where I thought that he failed. And Andy Reid made some mistakes in that game, but that was one of them. But I don't think the Bengals were trying to score. Now, when it got down to fourth down, Mixon did cross the plane, offsetting penalties. But I do think that they did try to score right there for sure because it's fourth down, so you got to score.
Right.
In that play, you know what's so crazy about that play? The play looks busted. Joe still never panics, still throws to the only person possible that he probably could get the ball to, and they still score. Even if that's not a penalty right there, they still score. And I just thought that was like – I was looking at the underlining theme of it. I just can't imagine a scenario for the rest of my life watching Joe Burrow where he's going to freeze up. Like, and that was a mess. I don't know what the play called, but something wasn't right there. But he threw it to Joe Mixon, and, I mean, they didn't get it. You know.
I'm going to ask you one quick thing, and then I'm going to get into these super chats. So we appreciate you guys. I haven't missed the super chats. I'm going to ask you one thing. Joe Burrow, 4,611 passing yards, right? 34 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. All the way up until, like, what, week 8, week 9, he was on a passing kind of, you know, snap count, essentially. Like, they weren't going to let him throw 30 passes. How is this man not being talked about in the MVP conversation? Because I'm hearing a lot of people say, you know, he should just be in the MVP conversation. But I think he should be a legitimate
I'm going to ask you a question. Who are the leading MVP candidates right now?
According to the public, they would say Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
I feel like Tom Brady played himself out of it, though.
So, I feel like the Bucs have, like, they're not even a one seed, right? But I guess because he's putting up the numbers, is it a numbers thing? Because Joey B was on a snap count. So, like, if Joey B wasn't on count,
they're not going to care about that, though. Like, the public's not going to care about that at all. Yeah. The thing that makes Brady's run – now, interceptions-wise, Aaron Rodgers is far lesser than all of them. But interception-wise, Herbert, Burrow, Brady up there with 14. And somebody
– they didn't get sacked 51 times, though.
The voters don't care about that either because he's Joe Burrow. Like, say Aaron Rodgers did that, they might include that in the conversation. But, like, just looking at raw numbers – Tom Brady has more touchdowns. But if you're looking at real numbers, like who's pushing the ball yards per completion, QBR, quarterback rating, Joe Burrow's winning in all of those categories. Aaron Rodgers has way less interceptions, and I think a lot of people will try to look at that. And if I'm trying to look from the outside looking in, I think that that's a legit case. But the one thing that I would say that I would just say from any MVP talk or anything like that, take Tom Brady off that team, I think they still win 7-8 games, right? Take Aaron Rodgers off that team and put in, you know, let them play Jordan Love, I think they still win 7-8 games. They got Bakari, they got, you know, like the best Jair Alexander, they got the best corner in football, they got big smoke, Devontae Adams and stuff, right? Take Joe Burrow off this team, give me like an average quarterback. Like, I'm not even going to name no names. Just give me an average quarterback. I don't think the Bengals really win, like, 5 or 6 games because most quarterbacks couldn't operate under that pressure, and Joe Burrow's been operating with those sacks and everything like that. To your point,
nobody's been sacked that much. Nobody has that many pressures. Nobody has that many quarterback hits. There's only like three quarterbacks that I could think of, like the Russell Wilsons of the world, that I think just normally just operate like that. For him to put up these numbers are staggering with the amount of pressures and knockdowns and sacks that he's had. And I think that factors into if you took him off this team and give me an average quarterback or even a good quarterback, I don't think they win more than six or seven games.
No, I'm with you.
That's why I think Joe Burrow's the MVP. It's not really like a raw numbers thing, because if you look at all the numbers, people going to see what they want to see. Like, they just see Aaron Rodgers. Like, I tell my friends Joe Burrow's better. They're like, oh, Zim, you crazy. I'm like, I know it sounds crazy. Like, look at my crazy shirt. You know, like, I'm a crazy person. But it's not crazy to say that he should be in the MVP conversation at all.
So I'm going to get into some of these super chats. Appreciate you guys. And also be sure to subscribe to Zim Houday's YouTube channel, my YouTube channel as well, New Stripe City. So Zim's is Zim Houday. It's all one word on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. If you're tuning in now, definitely send some super chats through. We got Attacks for $1.99 says the Bengals' best game in the past 3 years. Houday, baby. That was one of my favorite Bengals games of all time. I mean, when the nameplate came off of Joe Burrow's jersey, it just was a classic game to me. Landon McLeod.
When Joe walked out there with the Migos, what he
yeah, yeah, when he, yeah.
I mean, I'm still mind blown. Like, people be like, always hit us and say, bro, like, y'all so connected. Cool, yeah. But Joe Burrow,
I had no idea he was going to wear it.
I know people around Joe Burrow, but you can't touch Joe. You can't talk to Joe, none of that stuff. So whatever y'all thinking, like, exists behind the scenes, like, yeah, I know some guys, but they, you know, you cannot talk to Joe Burrow. To see Joe Burrow do that and then post it on his gram, to see all the locker room celebrations, him with the shirt on, I mean,
it was insane, bro.
And then you're like, yeah, the Bengals posted it. Yeah, the Bengals had to post it at that point. Like, it's lit. Like Bleacher Report, they had to post. Once Joe Burrow says something or make a statement like that, you better catch that moment, or everybody else going to catch the moment, and you're going to look stupid. So the Bengals, I wanted the Bengals seen the Mingo shirt before, because then they all of a sudden now they're like, oh yeah, look at Joe, he's got on all the wide receivers. Like, you done seen the Mingo shirt, Bengals, Bengals.com and stuff like that, for real. If I'm keeping it 100, but when Joe makes a move, it's all like chess moves and stuff. When Joe say something, when
Joey B say something, it's up. Landon McLeod 199 says, Zim, can you make a whole lot of orange posters, please?
Let's get it. Who we doing first? We're gonna do the Joe Burrow poster. Let's go.
Joey B, it's up. We got one from Rogray 85. I got you though, bro. You said this really our year. We the most dangerous team in the NFL.
Somebody tell me more dangerous. Y'all saw the Rams play this past week. You scared of Matt Stafford?
Nah, I'm not scared of Matt Stafford.
We took Aaron Rodgers to overtime and gave him a win. You think we scared of him? Like, and that was when we wasn't even like this dynamic force that we are right now. We went against the Broncos with the best corners in football. We won that game. We go against any team that has a running back. We stop all of their running backs. There's only been 200-yard rushes. There's Aaron Jones, who is one of the best in the entire National Football League, and Nick Chubb. Who else? Patriots, because of Belichick. I respect the heck out of him.
I respect him too.
But you can't put up points with me.
No. Matt Jones, I like my chances. Roguery, 85.
Bills?
Chargers. Bills is up with them too. I'm like, it's up with anybody. Anybody can get the smoke right now.
Titans with Henry.
I'll take them. We beat the Titans last year, and we got a way better team now. Rogue 85 says, "Are y'all going to the first playoff game? We in there? Yes. I bought my ticket last Wednesday. I had a feeling like we was gonna win that game, or we was gonna lock it up. So I bought mine last Wednesday." I think we're gonna be in. Did you already get yours, Zim?
I'm two sections away from you. You're a little bit to the right. I'm a little bit more to the left.
We in the hundreds, though. Just know that we in the hundreds.
Absolutely. You darn Skip. You gonna see me? I'm gonna go so crazy, people. I don't know if they saw the footage of that Jazz game. That was the Jazz game.
Was crazy.
We going level 10. Like,
Somebody tell me, man, I'm just happy we're going to playoffs. I'm like, what?
What? We about to go on a run, bro. We're about to go on a run.
Like, if Flacco made a run, like, I'll never forget that Flacco run. It proved me wrong. I talked so much crap about Flacco. If Flacco made that run, if you see the landscape of football and what Joey B doing right now, I'm a cook. And I'm going to bring all the food out there to the stadium, and it's going to be salty for anybody that wants any op. We cooking all this food, and it's going to be salty for you. I told my man, if he a Colts fan, you're going to come out to the Cincinnati, you're going to go home with tears that night. I promise you. And we're going to have the first game of the wild card. Watch.
Let's get
it. They're going to open wild card weekend up. It's going to be us. Because now it's super up. We're going to make the NFL pay for not putting us on primetime. What are you doing? What are you, stupid?
You got to watch us now. Remember they said during that Jazz game. Remember they said on the Jazz game, why would anybody want to watch the Bengals versus the Jags? You're going to have to watch us now. You might want to get used to watching the Bengals on primetime. Are you big wigs out there? You might want to get kind of used to seeing us out there because it's the Joey B era right now. Like, we in it. It's Joey B and Amigos. You're going to get used to it. They all 25 and younger. So it's only up from here. It's up for all of y'all. The blue Libra for $5. For all the haters saying the Bengals got lucky, man, the look on Mahomes' face that second half said it all. The Bengals turned it on in the second half.
Look, Patrick Mahomes, I am your conscience for the rest of your life. Patrick Mahomes, I'm in your mind. You can't escape me, Patrick. I am Joe Burrow, and I'm in your mind. I outdueled you. You can't stop me forever. Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to come out there the next time he sees Joe Burrow, and he probably texts his mama. He probably texts his friends and said, bro, this dude just came out here and dropped 500. Like it was nothing.
Like it was nothing.
They threw the whole kitchen sink at him. And honestly, though, like to see Joe hop those obstacles and to watch the best quarterback that could probably outduel him. Maybe it's Herbert. Maybe it's Aaron Rodgers. To have him sit on the sideline for that whole 6 minutes and watch it happen, and he could do nothing about it. And when he had his chance on 3rd and 5, he couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? And to watch your opposition do that.
Like you could do with it. Like, he already knew what time it was.
For the rest of his life, I don't care what happens with us in the Chiefs for the rest of his life, he ain't never going to forget that. Just like everybody at that game is never going to forget your experience at the game. I want everybody in the comments to tell me about what you did. How'd you turn up at the game? It don't got to be no super chat.
Everybody got to be at that playoff game for sure. Like, it needs to be so all the way. The Bengals ain't telling us to say this. This is just us helping them. And just driving the culture, everybody got to be at that playoff game. It shouldn't be one empty seat, because I got a good feeling about that. Zim, I know you're not, you know, we're not going to go there with you on predictions or anything like that, but I would just suggest that y'all be there in place to witness this new era of Bengals football.
Who would you rather see, the Patriots or the Colts? Because that's more likely who it's going to be.
The Colts, honestly, the Colts, I think dude is having an amazing year. The running back over there, his name escapes me right now, but
Jonathan Taylor,
1,700 yards. I'm with that, though, because we got DJ Reader. We got all of those guys there. I love my chances with Carson Wentz, because if Carson Wentz, he's kind of on the low, similar to Baker Mayfield. Like, they're kind of putting him on that Baker Mayfield last year diet, which is handoff, 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 because if you have Carson Wentz throw 40 to 50 times, he gonna hand you that ball. So love for us to shut that down and then wait for Carson Wentz to start throwing out the interceptions.
I really want to exercise them demons. Like, I feel like Carson Wentz gonna be cool, but I really I really want Dark Vader. I really do, because I just think so much about football is like a mental, like, it's just mental battlefields where we're just sending messages to ops. Like, all of my friends that play in the league, like, they watch that game. They message me and say, yeah, y'all super scary. Like, these are NFL players. You know what I'm saying? So, like, people are watching this stuff. You take out Dark Vader, like, off the break in the beginning of the playoffs, no matter if it's 14, 9, 21, you know, 10
a
or whatever.
Is a dub.
It's going to make it so that everybody's like, what do we do? If Bill couldn't do it, because people would try to take the formula or whatever Bill would do, but they ain't gonna be able to do what Bill could do. I just think it would catapult you to the next level. I might I might regret me saying that right now
because
Bill Belichick is no joke. And you know, all respect to Bill Belichick and what he's done. But I think sometimes, like just like the Chiefs games, it's like you just gotta exercise them demons, bro. And just kill. I would hate to go. I think they would just 2-3 weeks ago, I was pretty up on the Colts. I watched the Colts the last couple weeks. I'm like, bro, he don't want no smoke with Joe. Like the quarterback, like people talk about quarterbacks versus quarterbacks. And I remember a guy said, man, you act like the quarterbacks are tackling each other. But I'm like, you tripping if you think they ain't looking across that field. Carson Wentz does not want to look across the field at a young Joe Burrow in his prime, just loop-de-loo, uchi-wally-wally in the pocket, moving around, dancing, cooking, and chefing boys up, throwing it around the field. What he going to do? Try to emulate that and lose. Like, he don't want to look at that. So I think that's a blowout, and maybe that's the motivation that they need. But I guess it doesn't matter. I'm sorry. My bad.
Facts. Nah, you good. Mr. Hayward with the $4.99 super chat says, who they boys, congrats on the Migo shirt. Does Burrow play in the Cleveland game? And who do we play in the playoffs? We kind of talked about the playoffs part. I think for me, Burrow playing in the Cleveland game is based off of what happens in the Kansas City game that happens on Saturday. If the Kansas City Chiefs game happens, well, I don't even know that. I think it's based off of if he practices this week. But the Kansas City game, I think, tells you all you really need to know. But I think you still have a chance to win with Brandon Allen at quarterback. So, like, you might be able to do both. What are your thoughts, Zan?
I was going to ask you this, too. After I answer my part, let me ask you this. Do you think – let me answer what your question was. First and foremost, this is the most unorthodox take that you're going to get from anybody. I told you this, Ace. I don't have takes. I just say what's on my mind sometimes. I think Brandon Allen should start and Joe Burrow come off the bench. And this is why I'm saying this. I don't want Joe Burrow to be somebody that needs rhythm or anything like that. There's a couple of different things that I think have to happen. I think Joe Burrow needs to cement his case for MVP. And people say, well, you don't want to risk that or anything like that. But players like to go into their, you know, I don't want Joe. He's so hot. He's so hot right now. I don't want an instance where he takes a week or two off and then he comes out to the playoff game flat. So, like, it sounds really weird, but start off Brandon Allen. Maybe red zone opportunities, let Joe get a couple touchdowns or something like that. I'm sure the opposition might not like that and try to take him out. Maybe they go for his legs. So maybe I regret that part of it. That's the injury function of it. I can't. But I just think to get the stats that I want for the MVP, to get Joe still, like, in this, like, good rhythm that he's in, it's super unorthodox. But Brandon Allen starting the game, maybe Joe come in for like a quarter or something, have some fun with the boys, cook up, hand off, run through some stuff, look at some matchups, see how they like. Because my next part is this. I think Deontay Smith should start. I think Trey Flowers should start. I think Hargrave still on. I think Fred Johnson should start at right tackle. But my biggest one is Deontay Smith. I want to see him just see how he is and how the coaching staff feels about him at the very beginning of it and see how Joe Burrow plays. Maybe he gives up a pressure and they say, all right, Joe, you're out of there. Or Deontay, you're out of there or something like that to get you out of harm's way. But I want to see, does he have the chops and the cojones to go toe-to-toe with NFL players and not get bothered in a moment or anything like that. Now, this won't be a playoff atmosphere, but I just think that getting some of those guys out there and then having a couple reps with Joe Burrow, almost like on some weird preseason. Nobody's going to give you, like, I'm sorry. I just thought, like, Joe Burrow coming off the bench.
Yeah.
It's weird. But, you know. But I was going to ask you, do you think that we should start anybody? I don't know if you've seen this, but they've moved a bunch of guys to the injured reserve COVID list just to make sure that they get a rest week. On that list was Lakeem Davis, Gaither. I'll pull it up and I'll come up with it in a second. But they put a couple guys on it to kind of give them some break.
ADG is coming back.
They just put him on his list for some reason.
I thought they activated
Auden Tate though. Did you see that?
Nah, I didn't see that.
Or he came off of some COVID.
That would be fire. That would be fire.
Just to go over passing yards real quick, I had it pulled up. I'm sorry. Joe Burrow has 4,600 yards. Tom Brady has 4,900. So say he comes up, my theory, he comes off the bench. Joe Burrow throws for like 200 yards. They wouldn't say that Tom Brady has that many yards than him, right? Aaron Rodgers has 800 less yards than Joe Burrow right now passing. Go to passing touchdowns. Joe Burrow has 34. Tom Brady has 40. Aaron Rodgers has 35. Okay, so now let's go to completion percentage. Joe Burrow is number one in the National Football League at 70%. Aaron Rodgers is at 68. He's behind Kyler Murray and Derek Carr. Let's go to yards per attempt. Joe Burrow has 8.9. Aaron Rodgers is 7.8, far down the list. Justin Herbert, 7.6. Pat Mahomes, 7.5. Tom Brady's not even on this list for yards per attempt. He's not even on it because he doesn't push the ball down the field like that. So I could keep on going on different stats. People are going to want to see what they want to see. I just want to put that out there.
No, that's facts. Aquila, the great $5 super chat, said, I said Lou was one hell of a defensive coordinator last year after the Steelers game. I was clowned for it. Now, after a 3-point second quarter, I'm with you. I was on the Lou train for a while. I was like up and down on the Lou train. They used to kill me too when I would say anything good about Lou. But Lou is definitely doing his thing this season.
On that list, it was Akeem Davis, David Hendrickson, Von Bell, Spain, Hopkins. And people that were worried about Spain, we're good for the playoffs. We're ready to go. Trust me. We're good to go.
Another one from Herman for $4.99. If the Titans and Chiefs win, our wild card options are the Patriots or Bills, depending on who wins the AFC East or the Colts. Who would y'all rather see? We kind of answered that a little earlier. I think, like Zim said, I wouldn't mind it either. I wouldn't mind seeing the Patriots and slaying Darth Vader whatsoever. Got another one here from Rogue Gray. I got to track it down, Rogue Gray. I'm not seeing it down here. For the $1.99, I'm not seeing it. He says Zim is stupid AF.
I am
reacting to Kyle Rose, $5. Zim was right about Faker Mayfield. Also, he called the media wanting us to fall. They mad now that we're winning to fail. LOL, Bart Scott.
Couple things. Faker Mayfield is exactly who I said he was. You got to think, these Browns people never had no quarterback. Like, they never had no quarterback in their whole entire lives. So they didn't know. And so when I do the debate with Quincy and stuff like that, I'm like, hey, bro, I'm just trying to help you. I'm just trying to tell you. Like, when you got that guy, bro, you're going to know. So that was it. And I mean, it's easy to tell. And players talk. I will say that. So behind the scenes, it's a lot of people that like what I say about Faker Mayfield. On their team, not on their team, there's a lot of players that like exactly what I say about him because it's real. These players are all injured. And for him to take that role every single time that he comes on, it was super weak. Bart Scott, I don't even really want to give you no energy for real because – in real life, you don't really even know killers for real, and you're just getting on TV saying weird stuff like that to suggest that you want Joe Burrow to get hurt. Like, nothing but bad karma will come
to
you.
It's red like, dots on them. Dots on them. It's Joey B and Amigos. The red dot is on you, sir.
But can you imagine that, though? Like, you know, the one thing that we always say is we want all our ops healthy.
We want them all healthy.
I don't want no excuses. He wants Joe going to get hurt and Zach want to get fired. You are a sad individual, sir. Like, how could you say?
That's how you know they can't stop us. You got to do stuff like that because you can't stop us, and you're not going to be able to stop us. And if you really think that they're going to touch Joey B and nothing is going to happen, you already seen what happened when Akeem Adeniji ran up on somebody when they touched Joe. So, that's not happening.
Bartholomew off of perk. Bartholomew is tripping. Bartholomew is
Saudi, man. Big Saudi.
I'm about to say, Chef Joe Burrow be cooking, but all my ops tell me that food is salty. They all walk away salty as hell.
See what this is? That wink pack. Keep wink there. It's that wink pack. It's another another thing, too. It's up for like Zim said, the media wants us to fail. Mark Slareff out here talking reckless, talking about, when are you going to get your playoff win and all of that. It's coming, bro. It's coming. We know that y'all just want Joey being amigos. It's cool. But y'all not going to be able to talk bad about us anymore after this.
Don't you think that that's so crazy? Like, does anybody out, like, after all the stuff that Aaron Rodgers has done this year, right? With, you know, with the vaccination stuff and, you know, like how he handles some of the stuff. A lot of people think he's kind of a prick, right? Joey B being the guy that he is. Why do you think that the media doesn't really come, or like these media figures that we're talking about, they don't really have smoke for him? Why would they have smoke with the one Ohio kid that we all love, right? The one guy that could really do no wrong for us. The one guy that keeps it all the way 100. The one guy that put on a Migos shirt for a guy that he ain't really have to. The one guy that did everything that he could for his hometown Athens or whatever. Like, you go at him of all people. Like, I despise, like, I'm going to just get off that topic because I don't play about nine, bro. Like,
we don't play
about nine. He doesn't know me, but I love nine. Like, I feel like he's so important for the culture. He makes sports. I've said this, and people said I should have talked about it on the show. He makes sports colorless. Like, we get on here, like Ben Roethlisberger, people talk about like race and does he like black people? Or they have weird conversations about things with Ben Roethlisberger that they don't like. Joey B gives us the ability, like all of us, to just
talk everybody about, is orange.
We're just talking about sports. You know, that's the greatest thing about Joey B, because you trust them, and you could be black, you could be white, you could be Hispanic. You all trust Joe Burrow, and when you trust somebody, we know that he doesn't have an ulterior motive. Baker Mayfield, you want to shoot commercials, you want to make money, you want stardom, you want all these, you want the accolades and stuff. Joe Burrow wants to do this for Athens. Joe Burrow wants to win. Joe Burrow wants to play football. Joe Burrow worked his ass off to get back out here. You know what I'm saying? And we all trust him. And if you come for lesser than, like some of us, like myself, then he speaks for all of us by the way he plays. He doesn't have to come out and speak about Black Lives Matter, but he will. But if he didn't, every time that he has success, just like me and Ace have success, it speaks volumes. I don't have to speak on certain subjects because our success speaks volumes. And nothing that Joe Burrow does is malicious in any type of way for any walk of life. So anybody going against that, I just question them as a person, because if you love football like I love football, he just makes it colorless. And all we do is talk about football every time we talk about Joe. You don't have to worry about, is he only going to throw to this guy, or like all that weird stuff that comes with some of these other teams. And I'm sorry, that was one of my main points, is like, I wanted to talk about it. I had a very controversial tweet like a couple weeks ago, and a lot of people were like, I'm putting too much on him. But he does it without talking. He makes sports colorless, and I love the fact that we just can talk about sports with him.
Facts. John Wick, $5 super chat. Appreciate that, bro. Says, I want the Chargers first playoff game. I want the smoke. Herbert got to make it there first, man. Like you said earlier, Zoom. OB came through against the Chiefs. Is Herbert gonna come through against the Raiders?
You know who's gonna be on his head. You know who's gonna be at his neck. It's gonna be your boy Zim Hude. I'm gonna be going, hey, your man don't come through and he'll come through and beat the Raiders in a sudden death, life or death for your, you know, for your crown. And you telling me Herbert can mess with Joey B? Is you Jay Herbo, or are you just little Herbert? You know, like, are you, what you gonna do? You and it better not have no excuses. I don't want to hear about no refs, none of that stuff. Win the game, Herbert. Period. You want to be in the same sentence as my boy Joey B? You better win the game. Period.
Joseph, with the $5 super chat, appreciate that. The reason they're gonna give A-Rod the MVP is because of the 35 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. 4 interceptions in a season with 35 touchdowns is unreal. Burrow's 14 interceptions kills him, and I mean that's valid, but. I mean, did anyone not expect the Packers to be good? I mean, like, Joey B's coming off of a knee injury, like major knee injury, coming out here doing these things. He's still young. I just think that it really needs to be in a conversation. This man almost threw for 1,000 yards in 2 games, and he really just doubled Pat Mahomes' like performance. I think we would all say in here, Pat Mahomes is probably – it's a lot of people that will put Pat Mahomes over – Aaron Rodgers. Joey B just went toe-to-toe with him, won the division, and did all of this. Like, everybody expected the Packers to win that division. Right. Everybody expected Aaron Rodgers to beat Aaron Rodgers. I'm not trying to slight either one of those guys. I don't think anybody saw what Joey B was going to do this year and what kind of season that he's had against these guys. We're talking about 1,000 yards in the last two games, guys.
Right.
Let's just keep it a bean. Like, he really could go out there, and I feel like he could throw for 500 again and end up with 5,000 yards after coming off of an injured season. And he set franchise records. Just took out Andy Dalton's, what, his franchise record in 1 year, essentially. Right. Like, he really hasn't even played two full seasons yet. Like, right. A lot of people don't even remember that part.
I mean,
then Joey, he goes out and 16, gets the passing yard record too.
16
Come
games,
on, man.
16 games, 4,611 yards, 34 touchdowns, 70.
Uno rookie of the year. I don't want to hear anything.
70.4 completion percentage, throwing the ball for yards per attempt is crazier. I agree with the gentleman said about Aaron Rodgers with the 35 and then only four or six interceptions. But the way that Joe Burrow has yards per attempt, you know, like, at that completion rate is insane. I, like, somebody would have to be like a stat junkie or something like that and show me anybody that's ever completed that percentage and pushed the ball down the field like Joe Burrow. Like, people that had that percentage, like Tom Brady, is 3% lower than that. He throws like 6-7, you know, like 6-7 yards less. Like, I mean, bro, like, it's insane. I'm sorry.
It's insane. Last super chat, and I gotta hit on this, and because I definitely believe this. 199 super chat. Joe Burrow, comeback player of the year. I think that's valid. Possibly MVP. I think that's valid. Zach, coach of the year. I think that's clearly valid. Chase, offensive rookie of the year.
No question.
But we also.
No question.
Saw that Sauce Gardner declared for the draft today. Let's talk about some sauce from Midwest
Sauce
Barbecue. Definitely be sure to check them out. 669 Justice Court.
Yes,
over there in Loveland. Definitely stop by there and get you some wings. Definitely shout out to them. We appreciate all of the love. Definitely swing by there and tell them that Ace and Zim sent you. Zim, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about before we get out of here?
You think we spent any time on, like, you know, like, that's stupid. I was going to say the calls from the Chiefs games. Like, I just think it's stupid. At the end of the day, the only number that really matters is, like, 266, 464. You know, like, refs can't throw that for you. You know, so I just want to address that because there was some salty Chiefs people in there. And at the end of the day, if I look at things from perspective, say I'm them. I could complain about all those calls I want. But I would be even angrier. You know me. I would say, why did the defense let Jamar Chase score? Have three touchdowns.
Why didn't they double team Jamar Chase?
Why did y'all let him just get 266 yards? Why did my offense only score 3 points in the whole entire half? Why did Joe Burrow throw for damn near 500 yards? Like that, you know, like me, I'm player. Like, I'm gonna be looking at the players first. I don't think any of them calls like can offset that. Like, you could argue those calls all you want. But at the end of the day, your defense did that. Your coordinator failed you. You got a man up, live to fight another day. Because if it is really who you say you are, and I'm going to give y'all all the credit in the world because Pat Mahomes has been doing it. He got a ring, and we don't have a ring. So I have to respect my opponent in that aspect. But I just out-dueled you. Rather than you sitting around crying with your tears dripping down your face, I can't hand you no tissue. Only thing I can say is see me in the playoffs. And if you think – you think it's smoke or you think that you want to do something with us and you think it was the ref's fault, then come out there and go and win. Come out there and play us again and do it. Because I just out-dueled you and you ain't do nothing about it except cry. And I can't help you.
Facts. And with that said, we got to end this with a yes.
Sarusky!
Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
Never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me in any kind of sports in high school.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder. But you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.